It's time!
You're listening to Pound for Pound, ringside for all things MMA and boxing on WFUV Sports.
All right, let's do a countdown. 5, 4, 3, 2. Ladies and gentlemen, another one in the books underway. Welcome on back to another installation of Pound for Pound. I am your host for this week, Mahdi Dembele. And like a left hook and a cross, I'm joined here by Zachary Cordova and Will Jing. We have a lot to talk about. UFC 303 with all the movement that's going on, guys pulling in, new fights being announced. But before we jump into dessert, because it's dessert always first, I'm going to go over to my co-host and Zach, Will, how you guys doing today?
Doing good, man. I'm actually getting ready to fly out to Vegas tomorrow. I will be in Vegas for International Fight Week. I'm going to be attending UFC X, meeting some fighters. You know, one of my favorite fighters, Charles Oliveira, in this podcast I've talked a lot about. So very, very excited for this whole fight week. I think I'll be attending the event. If not by myself, I may get a credential through WFUV Sports. So if that were to happen, might be a good time. But I mean, I'm just happy to be in Vegas and experiencing fight week this week. So I'm really excited for this episode.
A little jealous.
For me, I'm doing good as well. I'm in the middle of these past few days fixing my sleep schedule. There were a couple of things where it was so hot in here during the heat wave. There were a couple of nights I just didn't fall asleep till like past, I think, 4 a.m. One day it was like the sun was coming up and I was like, oh my God. And then it was like 5 a.m. But I don't know, for this week, I got some big stuff coming up too. I got my own wrestling show coming up this weekend. Then I'm beat reporting for the Liberty game on Sunday. I might end up pulling a doubleheader because I also might get credentialed for another wrestling show that night. So I don't know. It might be a crazy weekend for me coming up. But I mean, let's dive into the show if you guys are ready.
I gotta say, I'm jealous of you both. I'm just here for this weekend. And you know what? While I have you two, we're going to talk some cage before you guys go live your lives and have fun without me. UFC 303, a lot of movement. It's a card of mystery, if I do have to say so myself. A lot of canceled events, a lot of guys moving up and down this card. But foremost among that is the fickle one, the notorious one, Conor McGregor. He's going to be out of this card with a foot injury, if I'm not mistaken. And Zach, he was a guy that me and you thought he's going to show up to the big fight. Michael Chandler's been waiting forever. And it's Conor McGregor. You know, he always comes back because he loves this, in his own words, as he said back all the way in UFC 229. But it looks like he's not going to be here. I mean, guys, any thoughts on that?
I mean, we talked about it on the last episode of whether we thought Conor was going to be there or not. And, well, we got our answer. Conor McGregor's pulled out. And I think the real question at this point is do we see Conor McGregor back in the octagon again? I think that's been a lot of the talk lately was, if Conor doesn't do this fight, are we ever going to see him again? Well, the UFC apparently says that we may see him later this year. They're trying to reschedule it. His injury isn't too serious. He has the broken toe.
Yeah.
But I don't know, guys. I think this raises kind of the question for me is, do we see Conor McGregor? Does he really care anymore? Does he have that same push? Because he has a broken pinky toe. Yes, I get not wanting to be in the octagon, not 100%. It makes sense to me. There's a lot of expectations. He's Conor McGregor. But the guy who's stepping in for him, Alex Pereira, has two broken toes. He fought 2 months ago instead of 3 years ago like Conor. It's a completely different story. And it almost puts things in perspective. Like, here's a guy who's hungry and wants to be active and fight. And here's Conor McGregor, who has all of the money, all the riches, everything he could ever want. And he's just kind of, if he feels like it, he'll be in there. If he doesn't, well, he pulls out of this fight. So I don't really know. It's kind of raises some concern for me of whether we do see Conor again.
Zach, I have your perspective, but Will, I want to get you in here. Do you think the money and the fame and the adoration, do you think that's enough to bring back a Conor McGregor?
I think, I don't know that it's more about that for Conor as it is like just trying to see it from his perspective, coming back from a long hiatus. You don't want to come back, not be 100%, and then kind of have this be your walk off into the sunset. Or even if, he has more in the tank, it's just like to have this as potentially an excuse for why you lose. I think that, I mean, if I was him, I just wouldn't want that to be the case. I would want to come and be like, all right, I'm 100%. If I lose, it's because of me. It's not because of my toe or this thing. And then I was doing some research and I saw that apparently his injury can affect his ability to kick. So that obviously does affect his abilities in the fight. So, I mean, I do see your perspective of like, Zach, where, you have somebody who's stepping in for him in that main event spot who has two broken toes, but at the same time, it's just like maybe some people would be willing to do that, but Connor at just this stage is just like, let me hold off on this.
Exactly. I agree with you because I'm he also Connor promises the greatest quote unquote comeback in sports history, which I mean to do that you have to be healthy. And I get that part of wanting to come back and give the best performance you could give. And sometimes an injury prevents that. You want to be 100%, especially when you're fighting a guy as tough as Michael Chandler. So I totally get it, but I also am a little concerned that we may never see Connor again. I'm not sure.
You know, it's a weird effect with me because like a guy like Conor McGregor, for as much criticism that I give him, I mean, he's a magnet. He's a magnet for this type of thing. It's crazy that like you can't take your eyes off of him, almost like a Mike Tyson in that sense, where even if you love him or if you hate him, you just want to see him. It's something weird. It's the mystique, it's the allure. And I have to go against the grain with you guys. I do think that he'll be back. I don't think this is the end of for Conor McGregor, given the fact that he is still the golden boy. If Dana was to throw me like a mega fight at him or potentially even a title fight after a few tune-ups, never say never, especially with special characters in fight history like that. It's never over until it's over for these guys. So I'm gonna pump the brakes on the Conor McGregor farewell for now. I totally understand the point. But let's move away from Conor McGregor because UFC 303 has shaped up to be a really, really good card. And Zach, as you said, I think we're going to start from the top here. Alex Pereira versus Jiří Prochazka 2. I mean, the fight just happened not too long ago, but we're going to see these two guys battle it out once again in a really, really good title fight. The first time around, I had Jiří Prochazka. I thought he was a much more, I would say flu not yeah, much more fluid, much more unexpected, dangerous techniques, a bit of a better grappler, but nobody could get through the left hook to affect the weaknesses of Alex Pereira. Guys, do you think it plays out the same way?
Oh man, I mean this is two people who have seen each other already. They've both been in the octagon with each other. You don't need much prep, and that's why I think that this is a perfect main event to fill in for this for Conor McGregor and this event because I think we're going to get fireworks either way. These are two guys that know each other now. They've both been through camps to fight each other. They put on a pretty good first fight. I think both guys had their moments. Jiří Prochazka did rock Alex a couple times, and Alex of course finished Jiří in a little bit of a controversial stoppage. So I think we finally get the clear answer to what happens. My only concern for Jiří going into this is
Yeah.
I think he took a lot of damage at UFC 300 against Rakic, especially with the leg kicks. And you're going against a guy in Alex Pereira who has probably some of the nastiest, most powerful, no tell at all when he's going to throw it in terms of leg kicks in the UFC. The guy just lands him no matter what. Everyone he has fought, he has compromised with the leg kick. And that's my big worry for Gary is how recovered is he from that last fight against Rakic? Because if I remember, Rakic landed a lot of leg kicks on Jiří. Jiří took a good amount of damage where Alex came out of that last fight. Yes, he has the broken toes, but he didn't really get touched by Jamal Hill and he came out relatively unscathed. So my question is, how fresh is Jiří and how fresh is Alex? I guess we're going to find out on Saturday.
For me, I think it's kind of a toss-up. I'm leaning towards Alex Pereira. I mean, I think that they obviously each have their own strengths, but I think at the end of the day, they kind of even out. Like you guys mentioned, I think Alex Pereira has a bit of a striking advantage. And then his opponent obviously has a little bit of the advantages in, ground game and in other areas. So the only reason why I'm going with Pereira, really, even though it's a toss-up, is just because I think he's coming in with a little more confidence with that, with the championship being the champion. So I think that's going to be the little thing that just tips the scale ever so slightly.
Yeah.
Zach, oh yeah, Zach.
Sorry. I just want to say, just add on to that, momentum is the biggest thing
Good point.
for Alex Pereira coming into this. It's three straight wins. He hasn't lost in this light heavyweight division yet, and his last two have come by knockout. He's kind of just riding on a high. He's taking the UFC world by storm. Everybody loves Alex now. He's one of the most beloved fighters on earth right now. So he's got all the momentum in the world, and he has no reason to not be confident in himself.
Absolutely right. From his first fight in middleweight, I want to say against Jan Blachowicz, we came on this podcast, said, yep, he looks like a light heavyweight. But Zach, I want to challenge you on this point specifically. You said that Jiří Prochazka takes a lot of damage. You see the style, you see the way that he fights. It's very enigmatic, it's very intricate, and it's different from what traditional fighters may be accustomed to. Not that Alex is a traditional fighter, but Jiří attacks you from awkward angles. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay. If you're trying to come for a guy's head and take his head off, you're going to get hit. But I'm okay with that. As long as you're looking to get a guy out of there, I think Yuri's kind of callous to that. I think he's okay with taking punishment. And as long as he's able to get his off, I think he'll be fine. So is that something that you agree with? Do you think that he's callous to that point?
Oh yeah, I think a lot of people are very quick to count Jiří out of this fight because he lost the first one, and like I mentioned, the damage from UFC 300, the little bit of not layoff, but I feel like not having the time in between the fight after all everything he went through, and compared to what Alex went through in his fight, how quick it was, it's definitely a concern for me. But there is a certain way that Jiří Prochazka fights that is so unorthodox and so weird and so just out of the blue, where he will catch you with something. And there's a reason why Jiří Prochazka has, I can't even remember, I think it's over 20 finishes, 26 knockouts on his record, three subs. The guy could do just about everything. He is literally just chaos personified inside of the octagon. So can he win? Yes, absolutely. Like I said, he caught Alex a couple times in that first fight, and Alex didn't necessarily have the easiest time with him. Yes, he finishes him within a round. But was it easy? No. So both guys have a shot. I think this one comes down to just pure fireworks and whoever gets theirs off first, honestly.
An interesting fight indeed. We're just gonna have to see. It could go either way. Will the power of Alex Pereira come through once again, as it always have, or will Jiří just Jiří and surprise the whole crowd? Stay tuned. No, I'm joking.
Let's go predictions first, though. I think I want to
Let's
hear what
do
you have to say,
predictions.
Monty, because I heard Will say Alex.
I'm gonna stick with you guys. I'm not gonna go against the grain. I'll go Alex because at this point, like you said, three fight win streak at like middleweight, nobody could touch him. He's a supernova. With a caveat. There's always a caveat when you fight a guy like Yuri, but I will side with Alex.
This is so hard for me, man. This is a really tough one
That's what
because
I'm saying.
this is who you pay to see. You pay to see Alex. Everyone loves him right now. He's on a hot streak, but I think Jiří's so hungry to get that championship back. And I'm talking about the damage or anything. It sounds like I'm going against him, but I kind of think Jiří could do it. And I think if he does it, it's going to be by knockout. That last performance kind of convinced me that even through all the damage, through everything, Jiří has that dog in him, and he's going to push through the fire no matter what. And if you anyone's going to take out Alex Pereira in this weight class, I think it's Jiří Prochazka. I think I'm going to wild prediction just to go against you guys for this one, so we're not all the same and not on meme watch here. I'm going to go Jiří with this one. I'm going to go Jiří by knockout.
So me and we'll see if we'll be able to cash the check that we talked. And Zach, same thing for you. But let's move on with this card because again, UFC 303, with all the chaos, it's turned out to be pretty good. A battle of old and new. Brian Ortega versus your boy Zach, Diego Lopez, the weirdest hair and tattoo combination I've ever seen. Number three ranked contender against 13. I mean, Brian Ortega, as seasoned as they come, you look at his fight resume, guys like Frankie Edgar, Volkanovski, Yair Rodriguez. I mean, he's been through it all. And Diego Lopez with that last knockout of Sadiq Yusuf, one of the fastest rising stars. And as you like to describe him, Zach, the next version of Charles Oliveira. What do you see in this fight? What are the implications for both guys with really title aspirations in the future? And who do you think pulls this one out? I'll start with you, Will, actually.
Oh, my bad. I was on mute. Wow. This one is harder to pick, I would say, even than the last one.
a good fight.
I well, the prediction for this is going to be very, I don't know. This one is closer than the last one for
I'm
sure.
stuck
You
to
might need to go to Zach first because
Zach.
I'm
Do you want to? Because
who's
Zach, I know
going.
Zach is going to explode. Zach, go ahead.
Oh man. When I tell you, I've never been so excited for one of my favorite fighters to get a shot, but so nervous for them at the same time. I mean, I tell you guys, I've been watching Diego Lopez since day one when he took that fight against, I can't remember his name now, but top five guy, undefeated, debut on a week's notice and almost beats him. I knew he was special from that moment. I knew this guy had something different than we've seen in a long time from a lot of these prospects because his grappling is so good. It's so fluid. It rivals just about anyone in this weight class. And then more recently, we found out that he has the pop in his hands to
Yeah.
not only put down, he puts down Sadiq Youssef, who is, I think, one of the better strikers in this weight class.
In featherweight.
And he did it relatively easy. And the thing about Diego Lopez's fight style is he has these little bursts of aggression that, like, I don't really see very often in fighters. He's so tame in the way he fights and so calm, but he can explode at just any moment in any position, and he catches guys by surprise with it. And he has so much pop in his hands, and he's so confident in going to the ground that his that when he's on the feet, it gives him so much more confidence. It's almost like exactly like Charles Oliveira. You bring it up, like I've said several times. I think he's like the second coming of DuBronx. I think he has so much confidence in his ground game that his standing game is even better. And I think this matchup, especially with Brian Ortega, is super interesting because we have two grappling aces. Brian Ortega, again, another really, really good jiu-jitsu player in this division. And he's been in the top five for a long time for a reason. And we've seen flashes of Brian Ortega in that Korean Zombie fight where he can do some striking. He can be very intelligent and very technical on the feet. So this is such an interesting matchup and such a big one for the weight class because this is potentially, I feel like, a number one contender match. I think if Diego Lopez can go in there and get a finish in his first ever co-main event on short notice once again, he could potentially be the next contender at 145 pounds. But Brian Ortega as well, we saw him beat Yair earlier this year, and he looked really good. And if he can beat a surging Diego Lopez, we may have another contender on our hands. We may have a little line forming at featherweight. So I don't know, guys. This one's a true toss-up for me. This is such an exciting fight.
Featherweight is a division that's a log jam, Zach. I mean, from 14 to 1, 14 to number one top contender, I think that's a little rough because you look at the names there. And even with a knockout against Brian Ortega, I don't know if Diego Lopez is able to make that jump. I'm looking at Brian Ortega, 3 wins by knockout, 8 by submission, and 4 first-round finishes. I mean, and he's the number three guy. And you look at featherweight, he's above guys like a Yair Rodriguez, a Molsar Evlov. Arnold Allen is a guy that I really like a lot. Josh Emmett's the ultimate gatekeeper. Aljamain Sterling, Calvin Kattar. Like, this is a very, very deep division. And Brian Ortega, a guy who has been overlooked for a majority of his career, I would say, finds himself as number three. So, I mean, I point this to both of you. I mean, like, do you think he could get it done? What's the realistic chance that Brian Ortega gets this done? Is this 50-50? Are you guys more so siding with, or are you guys on the, I guess, Diego Lopez hype train or rocket ship?
You know, honestly, I now that you've given me, a few more minutes to think about it, I think a lot of people are going with Diego Lopez, but I'm gonna go with Ortega to win just because I think he's real tough. And I think that he's gonna be able to grind this one out eventually. He's gonna take some tough hits, but I think eventually, probably go the distance, excuse me, maybe win by decision. It's going to be super close. I think I also read the story. I think Ortega has a little bit more motivation. He's trying to raise money for a church charity cause. I don't know. It's just, again, this one's so close. I think that little bit of extra motivation, that little bit of extra toughness that Brian Ortega has, I think this one's gonna go the distance, but I think he's gonna barely squeeze this one out.
It's a good point.
Ooh, go the distance, I feel like is a bold claim for this fight because these are two finishers. I with the grappling in for both guys, I could see this go the distance. I kind of agree in that aspect, but I also just for some reason can't see it happening. And you ask about being on the rocket ship, the train ride that has been Diego Lopez. Man, I have been strapped onto the rocket since the beginning. Diego Lopez is absolutely electric. And every single time, from the hair to the tattoos, to everything about the guy, his aura kind of screams superstar to me. And he's not necessarily the most, I mean, colorful, yes, in his appearance, but he's not like one of those trash talking guys on the mic who's saying all of these bizarre things. He's just going out there and getting it done time by time. He's a company man. He shows up on short notice, his second time doing it besides his debut. And ever since we've seen him in the octagon, I feel like we haven't seen him in a fight where he hasn't been able to win it. And I just don't see him losing in such a big spot this weekend. He has such a big train of momentum behind him. He is so good everywhere. And I actually do believe that this is a fight that if he can go in there and get a finish with his hype, the way his hype train's been moving, how good he's been recently, this could be his shot for the title. And Marty, you're the one who says it, man. It's not who you beat, it's how you do it. And you fill in on short notice for UFC 303 International Fight Week for the co-main event with as big as a name as he is. You go in there and get a finish over Brian Ortega and you knock him out, or you submit him. I mean, submit a really, really good jiu-jitsu guy. I think your next fight's for the title. I think that's the only way you can put it. And I feel like there's not a bigger fight in the weight class, obviously, besides Max versus Topuria. And I think that will play out later this year. And I think Diego Lopez might be next for that title. I think he gets a knockout this weekend at UFC 303.
A lot of good points, Will. I like the fact that you brought in the extra motivation outside. Sometimes that's good for the fight spirit. Zach, I appreciate the rocket shit, man. Man, you knock out Sadiq Yusuf, and I'm just going to have to side with you there. I do think it will be a tougher fight because MMA math doesn't make the most sense. You usually see it when two wrestlers get in the ring, it's going to be a slugfest. Kamaru Usman, Colby Covington. When two knockout artists get in, who's not to say it goes the distance? I think it's going to be a tougher fight for Diego Lopez, but I think pressure makes diamonds, and I think he's a diamond waiting. I really, really do. So give me Diego Lopez. It's going to be a tough fight. But to him, I say, what you got? Because Brian Ortega is as tough as they come. He's number three. And at worst, he's a very, very good gatekeeper. Very, very good. This card, it's like the gift that keeps on giving. Because next fight is Ian Garry, or Ian Machado Garry. Everybody knows the situation there, against Michael Venom Page. That's going to be MVP. Another really, really good fight there. Rising contender and a guy who forever should have been in the UFC. Michael Venom Page, aging like fine wine. We said he should have been in the UFC 10 years ago. And Ian Garry at 26, just clearing out the welterweight division. What do you guys see in this one? I mean, I'm really, really excited for this. I'm going to start off with Zach. I see you steaming behind there. Maybe you got something to say. Let it off your chest, my man.
I'm just excited for this one, guys. This is such a close fight, and I feel like almost similar styles. These are two guys that like to fight on the outside and kind of poke at their opponents until they can land a big shot. Ian Garry, I feel like, is more active in terms of when in the octagon, in terms of throwing punches and such when he fights than Michael Page. Michael Page kind of sits back, does the, you know, the snake charming dance, almost feels like, the way he fights. And just waits for his moment, waits to explode and dive in and knock his opponents out. Where Ian Garry's just always in your, he's always throwing, but he stays at a distance. He's so good at keeping that distance. My biggest question is, and I'm going to ask you this, Marty, or Will, does Ian Garry maybe look for another way out besides just the striking? Do you think he utilizes some of his ground game? Because we haven't really seen any of the Ian Garry ground game. We haven't seen any of the MVP ground game, really. So would it be wise for Ian Garry to maybe take Michael Page down? Because I feel like when MVP is on the outside and he jumps in, that could be very dangerous for Garry because of how much he throws, because of his activity in the octagon. I think if he's overextending, he could get caught. And I feel like if he could take down MVP, He may have a clearer path to victory than
He
just
may
striking.
indeed. The problem with that, if you're asking me if Ian Garry has to go into his bag, potentially, you see that in and out style from Michael Venom Page, and it's very frustrating. Just ask Kevin Holland. But one win by submission. I mean, the takedown accuracy is very, very good, 75% as it is, but you're asking Ian Garry to almost go into uncharted territories with only one submission win. Do I think he's capable? Of course, I think he's a rising star in this welterweight division. But it's going to be a tough ask there, especially for someone as seasoned as Michael Venom Page. He knows how to stay away, and he's excellent with leg kicks. Like, I don't know if you remember him from his time in other promotions. Kick the guy's skull, and you try to rush in on Michael Venom Page, he'll hit you with something. I mean, I think this one does stay on the feet. I do think this one stays on the feet. I just don't know if Ian Machado's ready for that yet, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
That's
I agree with that. To me, I feel like Ian Garry has more path to victory in this fight than I guess MVP would, because I feel like MVP's path to victory is knockout, and that's how it's been for his whole career.
But
You
he
could say
hits
the
it
same
so
about
well.
Ian Garry, but I think Ian Garry's ground game is something that's not really talked about enough. And I think especially in this welterweight division, you got guys like Shavkat, Colby Covington, Kamaru Usman at the top of the division. You got to show off a little bit of ground game if you want to make it anywhere. Obviously, the champion Leon Edwards doesn't really go to the ground much, but he has shown us that he does have a ground game. He took down Kamaru Usman in the past, such and such. So I think this is Ian Garry's chance to show
To
us that
show it.
there's more to his game than just the striking, because I think when you get to the striking in this matchup, that's where it gets muddy. That's where it gets weird. That's where we kind of get the unexpectedness, where Michael Page, that's where he thrives, is throwing stuff that is unsuspected, just throwing and exploding and knocking his opponents out, catching him by surprise. Where Ian Garry, I think, could be a little bit more methodical. And then this is his chance to show that he has a more well-rounded game than he's shown so far. And I think if you want to make your claim for a title in such a stacked weight class, you got to show more than just the striking game. And I
It's
think that's
not.
maybe what he hunts for in this
It's
matchup.
not who you beat, it's also how you beat them. Will, get in here. What do you think, my man?
I want to add another dimension to this prediction, and
Okay.
that's, do you guys think the length of the fight would favor a certain person? So if the fight went longer, would it favor Gary or would it favor MVP? Because for me, I think that given MVP's experience and given the fact, because I've seen a lot of trash talk from Ian Gary, just not thinking that Michael Page is going to be able to do anything to him, really, and thinking that Michael Page is beneath him. So, given that, I think that the longer this fight goes, personally, I think it favors Michael Page. But if I think that the fight starts to swing Ian Gary's way early, I think that that's going to swing it in his favor.
Oh, that's a good point.
It's a tough one because it's only a 3-round fight, and both guys have proven that they don't really have gas tank problems. I haven't really seen MVP gas out. I haven't seen Ian Garry gas out. So it's more about what's the pace looking like in the first round, because these are two guys, like I said, who like to stay on the outside, poke at their opponents until they find a spot. What does this matchup really look like when we get both guys on the feet when they're trying to find their mark from outside?
I'll give you my prediction. I'm gonna go with Ian Garry for this one. Yeah, I know MVP is the more seasoned fighter, but again, Ian Garry's probably he's probably the more active fighter, as you said, Zach. And I think he can put a guy, especially an older guy, because same height. Michael Venom Page does have the reach advantage, almost 5 inches, but I think he's able to, which is a crap
That's a
ton.
lot.
I
That's
do
a
believe,
lot.
yeah, I do believe he's going to be able to put him on the back foot, especially in those spots where you got to pick your shots correctly and you're playing tag with the guy. I think he'll be able to put him on the back foot and he'll land first. This is really who's going to be able to land the big shot first. I'm going to have to give that to Ian Garry.
Yeah, I think Gary's best method of victory here is going to be pushing MVP up against that cage, because what is so good about MVP, I keep bringing it up, is his ability to explode into that space. He keeps the range, but he uses his reach so well and exploding into big shots, just either a weird jab or a really big backhand or some crazy kick from range. If Gary could back him up against the cage, he's not going to have as much room to do that. And I think that's where Gary has thrived in a couple situations. His last fight, obviously, against, I think, Neil Magny, it was against, or Jeff Neal and Neil Magny, both guys he did this to. He backed him up against the cage and was able to kind of tee off on both of them in those scenarios. So I think that's Gary's best method of winning this fight. But I don't know, guys. This one's a toss-up to
He's
me.
Gonna have to come
I
up the ring.
Think this is 50-50. I think this is a flip a coin and just get ready for a show. That's all
Gonna
I
have to
can
cut off
say.
the ring. Gonna have to cut off the ring.
Yeah, I think Ian Gary is gonna. I think he's gonna sneak one in, a good shot in early, and I think that's what's gonna swing the momentum in his favor. I'm gonna go with a win by knockout on the second round for Ian Gary.
Bold, bold. Well, I will be in Vegas, so I will be putting one down for you on that one. So will be blaming you if it is wrong. Ian Gary, round two knockout. I like it. I'm gonna go ahead and say MVP, the showman, is gonna come out and make his name really known in the UFC. He's gonna take that O from Ian Gary. I think that for the whole MMA community is going against Ian Gary, which I actually like Ian Gary. I have never had a problem with him. A lot of people don't like him because of his antics outside of the octagon, but
antics.
MVP though, guys, I think he's just a monster and his bag is so deep. And especially when it comes to that range fight and being able to pick and choose his spots, I think Ian Gary has never seen somebody like this who can play his game in terms of the range and has more reach. And I think MVP is going to explode into something and give us a highlight reel knockout. But I can see it going either way.
Either way for me, I'm going to go with Ian Gary. You cut off that ring, you put him on the back foot, I think you'll be okay. In other news, as we move away from 303, we go to WWE, and Will had the courtesy of sharing this with us before the show. Roman Reigns, his father did indeed pass away. I'm not too familiar with how, but Will, but if you wanted to get into it, I mean, all condolences with the Reigns family there. So, yeah, Will, if you could just take it away.
Yeah, so not too long ago, we were about to start this recording, and then I was looking on Instagram, and Roman Reigns' dad, Sika Inouye, he passed away peacefully today. So it's unfortunate for the Inouye family, obviously the big wrestling dynasty of a family, basically with Roman and The Rock and the Usos and that whole big family. So I know a lot of them are going to be in mourning over the coming days. You know, Roman's gone right now, but so I don't think it's going to affect him too much as far as, you know, his activity on the show goes. And you know, WWE doesn't have another, I don't know if they have live shows, but they don't have another televised show until Friday. So I think, you know, everything is going to resume as usual, as far as storylines go. But yeah, just condolences out to Roman Reigns and his family. And hopefully we see Roman Reigns back at SummerSlam, which apparently that's still up in the air. I think that the rumors are that he's not coming back before SummerSlam, and Cody Rhodes versus Solo Sikoa is currently penciled in for SummerSlam. But I think that is a very possible site for his return.
Yeah, Roman Reigns, leader of the Bloodline Stable and the member of the legendary Inoue family. Again, condolences goes to the Reigns family there as they mourn. Father Inoue, 79 years age, fly high and rest in peace. Boys, I'm so sorry. That was a quick episode, but that was good, good talk. Again, almost like UFC 303, time to just piece this one together and you get a beautiful, beautiful card. Ladies and gentlemen, that's all the time that we have for today. Again, like I said before, like a good left hand and left hook, I have Zach Cordova and Will Jing with me, Mahdi Dembele. Pound for Pound is a production of WFUV Sports.